Brother, I want to have you pray for us. Let's stand, folks, while he's getting ready. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Brother Reagan, if you'll open us up in prayer, I appreciate it. Amen. Y'all be seated. Well, now let's read first. I'm sorry. I'll explain the Reagan thing here in a second. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Y'all can be seated. Now, I asked Brother Reagan to pray for me this morning because I prayed for him yesterday. Because I knew I was going to be preaching off this text all week. And then he strayed over into this text, and so I was doing one of those Ruckman prayers. Lord, shut him up and make him sit down. Because I was a little concerned how this thing was going to go. But he did okay, and he didn't get off into what I was going to say. I wanted you to see in this passage that the Lord there calls the church the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I'm standing in front of a bunch of dispensational Bible-believing Baptists here this morning. And I know that we are probably in a large agreement on where things stand. I want you to be aware that I'm aware of something. I'm aware in verse 15 that as far as being the house of God, I understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's followed up further in verse 16 where the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. I also see in there, and I have to say that it's not very often that I call our church the house of God. And so I want to just cover myself here and have you understand that while that much is true, and while that points to the universal body of Jesus Christ, that place which all of us were placed in when we received Christ as our Savior, I do want to say that he just got done talking about bishops and deacons. And I believe that there's an application here plainly to a local church. And I draw your attention, because I want to get right to it here this morning, to the last seven words of the verse in verse 15. It says that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Seven words. I want to begin with talking to you a little bit about the truth. Now, I'll just tell you what the truth means to me. I don't have the kind of testimony that some of you have. I was saved as a Southern Baptist boy when I was 10 or 11 years old. I don't remember the date or the hour. I remember the definitive time. I've just never been able to track down the date on the calendar. But I got saved at 10 or 11. And our church was a little country church that was down at the bottom of the food chain. And so we took the new preachers that came out of Southwest Seminary in Fort Worth. And they were there for 2 years and then moved on to something bigger. Our church considered its ministry breaking in new preachers. And so that's kind of the background I came from. I didn't grow. I was saved at 10, didn't grow, went off into junior high school, an athlete, went off into high school, got a girlfriend, played four sports in high school, went to a small enough school that I was able to play four sports in high school, football, basketball, baseball, and track. And I was a pretty good football player, but I wanted to throw the shot put and the discus. I don't know, you say why? Well, just did. When I went off to college. And so I went all the way through high school, backslidden, went off to college, and I found it to be a dark place. I was saved, and I knew some things that I should know because the preacher had said it, but I didn't have a background in Bible. It was a dark place. I'll tell you where the Lord found me. After 3 years in college, I'm talking about college. After 3 years in college, I was struggling with sports injuries. I got interested in physical therapy, so I was basically taking pre-med courses to be able to be accepted into physical therapy school. And so well, the Lord found me after 3 years in Bible, or rather in college. He found me in classrooms like animal physiology and comparative anatomy. You know what I was doing in comparative anatomy? I was memorizing bones that existed in the heads of prehistoric fish called coelacanths and tracking those bones through the evolutionary tree as the fish finally crawled out on land. And, of course, some of them crawled back and became mammals. But then they crawled out on lands and eventually we became bipods. And eventually that bone that was in that fish's head became a bone in my inner ear. Now, brother, we were memorizing entire systems like that. Last I checked, that would be the epitome of ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I wanted you to know. I want you to understand. That's where I was at. College for me, high school for me. Frankly, junior high for me. You know, some people want to go back and live their high school days over. Not me. Just leave me out of that club. I ain't interested in going. That was a miserable time for me. Those first 3 years in college, you couldn't pay. I would not take $1 million to go back. I am not interested. Say, why? Because it was dark. It was real dark. There was a disconsolation, a desolation, an emptiness involved in that that I never want to see again. And so there I was, and through a long sequence of things, I at least had a Southern Baptist background and knew I needed the Lord and went back to church. And I stumbled into a big Southern Baptist church there in Arlington, Texas, near UTA where I went, and a church of 800 or 900, I suppose. And I stumbled in there for Sunday school one morning, and I just remember they had to direct me across the street to some secondary type, educational facility back there. So I went through these corridors and back, seemed like I was being led back into some utility room somewhere. I got back there in that back room of that strip mall or whatever it was, can't remember. And there was a guy in there in a Southern Baptist church teaching college-age kids Dr. Ruckman's material. His window for doing that was about 3 months. But that 3 months ruined me. Ruined me for good. Brother, I'd go home at night after church, and the sound of those words that I'd heard, the light, was a real thing. It would reverberate through my soul, the corridors of my memories. For the first time, I had the truth. So, I want you to understand, that's what the truth means to me. It floods and enriches my life. And so I read this here. And I know what the bride of Christ is. I know how I got into the body of Christ. By one Spirit, all we all baptized into one body. But that church, that local church, means something. We didn't last very long at that Southern Baptist church, so we moved on to an independent fundamental Baptist church. The kind of independent fundamental Baptist church that has one foot in the truth and probably one foot off into something else. But I think he was trying to diversify his congregation because he had Curtis Hudson in, and then he had Jack Hiles in, and then he had Dr. Ruckman in. I still don't know what that guy was thinking. I know after I left that I found out that he was a pedophile. But he had Dr. Ruckman in. So that's the first time I saw Dr. Ruckman. So 2 years later, I was at PVI. I went down to the cave. And it can't escape my attention or yours that where my life got back on track was in church. Now, it was a Southern Baptist church that wasn't worth two hoots, probably. Except they accidentally put a teacher in that was worth two hoots. And then I moved on to an independent fundamental Baptist church, which was worth a hoot and a half, maybe. Still wasn't what it should have been. But it didn't escape my attention that all that I have, that light, that truth that I have, came to that local church. Now it says there that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, now you know what the truth means to me. What does it mean to you? I want to know. Does it mean to you what it means to me? I get up here. I'm not a crier. I am not a crier. I fight that thing. No! No! And finally the tear makes me nuts. It's not a crier. The boy thinking about the truth. Now look, the church of the living God, the house of God, the local church, is the pillar and ground of the truth. Since we covered the truth, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. That "the" is a definite article. The pillar. And that "the" applies to the ground just as much as it applies to the pillar. But that "the" speaks of exclusive singularity. The pillar. What other pillars are there that hold up the truth? And there are none. I think about a pillar. That pillar is a support for a superstructure. The pillar of the truth is singular. That means that you don't go to college to get it. Not science, not philosophy, not medicine, not scholarship. It's found at church. It's the pillar. It upholds the superstructure. Now, you know, I was thinking about this because the truth means something to me. And I know that I have a God that is the God of truth. I know that I have the Spirit of truth, John 15 and 16, dwelling in me. I know that my Savior is the way, the truth, and the life. I know that I have the Word of truth, and by the way, the words of truth up here on this pulpit. And I believe every single one of them. And yet it still strikes me that with those four categories of things, I don't affect those things at all. I believe them. But God is the God of truth, with or without my acquiescence. And the Word of God is true whether I believe it or not. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth whether I'm led by Him or not. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life whether I access it or not. And so far, really, I don't have any skin in the game. But then I come to the church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And one day, the Lord walked up and said, "There's something for you to do." Minneapolis, Minnesota needs a pillar. I want you to go there and be the pillar. The pillar and ground of the truth is the church, but you're going to have to go and cooperate with some folks and set one up. Okay? And so there's pillars in Michigan. Wherever all that was, if you weren't here yesterday, I'm not going to explain it at this point. But ladies and gentlemen, that pillar supports the superstructure of the truth. If you don't have a pillar, you ain't got the truth. My wife and I went out to the great sequoias and saw the sequoias out in California a few years back. It's one of those things that blows your mind. You walk up to a tree that's almost as big around as the floor of this building. You stand up there and lean against that thing, and I know it's not a pillar. It's just a big old tree. But I'm reminded that I stand here as a pastor of a church that in a local spot, and again, I'm not the only one around, but in my local spot, I got skin in the game on the pillar of the truth. That which upholds the superstructure of what's true. That pillar is not just a support of a superstructure. That pillar also testifies something all through the Old Testament. There were pillars erected. There's too many to name. Absalom had a pillar. It testified that this was Absalom's place. What a narcissistic bunch of nonsense. Absalom's place. That Lot's wife became a pillar. Testified of judgment of disobedience. And we could go down a long list of things, and I don't have time to do it this morning. I know this. We have a sign out in front of our church, and we've never had anything but Scripture on it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have anything but Scripture on yours, but it's just one of those interchangeable signs. You still go out there and place the letters and take letters off and slide it to the slot and all that stuff. We've never had anything but Scripture on it. I want to say that whatever else is the case, there's a bunch of folks with signs out saying, come in and worship with us. You know, we got the neat little, you know, little things, little fairy things. You know, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. I don't know what that testifies to, but when somebody comes to Blessed Hope and comes in and then leaves, whether happy or mad, I would like for there to be a knowledge that they've been in a place that is a pillar of the truth. Doesn't escape my attention, by the way. There's a lot of Bible here that I don't have time to go into. Doesn't escape my attention that the Lord led the children of Israel. Led the children of Israel in a pillar of cloud and fire. I read that in Exodus 13:21. Then I read in Exodus 14:24 that the Lord looked through that pillar at those Egyptians. His presence was there. Brethren, the local church is being deserted. Even the people that proclaim to love Jesus Christ don't care whether they're there or not. And they don't know what they've got. First place, I don't think they appreciate the truth as they should. Because what they're tied up with is the pillar of the truth. You've got skin in the game. I'd like to say further, gotta go ahead and down to the last part of that, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, y'all broke ground here and built. We broke ground a few years back and added on to our church. We broke ground. You break that ground and you lay a foundation deep. Put rebar in there and start putting block on and so forth. But the church being the ground of the truth means that that's where the truth is. It's a place. There's ground there. It's ground to work. It's ground to either dig and build or it's ground to plow and till. And sow, and cultivate, and reap. That's where the work is done. You say, well, I read in the Bible that a man's heart is where the good and honest ground is. I think the ground of a good and honest heart should come to the ground of the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the ground. Doesn't escape my attention that the ground of the truth must relate to the fact that men are called to be rooted and grounded. In love, rooted and grounded. In the faith. Did anybody else here notice that free agents for God are not the most stable people in the world? Anybody notice that those folks that are off on their own, doing their own stuff, are half crack-brained all the time? Once in a while, there's a decent fellow that has a decent idea, but when they get off by themselves, they have no balance. They have nobody to bring them back to some sort of equitability. There's no direction. Who gets to reprove you if you don't get to a church? Say, my wife? Yeah, but then you call her a nag and tell her to shut up and probably slap her. Who gets to reprove you? I dealt with an evangelist a few years back. And way too off on his own. I'd had him in. He was a friend of mine. And ultimately the question for me became, who gets to reprove my brother? When there comes an hour that he needs to be reproved. Now, you're a missionary? Who gets to tell you when you're out of line? Well, if you're off on your own, probably nobody. So what's the point? You need to be anchored. This is the anchor. This is the ground. I also didn't want to escape our attention this morning that there is the issue of being electrically grounded. In Jacksonville, it's my understanding that whoever, or anywhere else, that whoever supplies your power here, they have grounding rods at their facility because electricity always flows to ground. It's my understanding that every telephone pole in this country, if it's installed right, has a grounding wire that goes down deep into the ground because all charge flows to the ground. If you want to see how this works and you really want to test it out, find a thunderstorm and a golf course, a 3-iron and a 9-iron, and go walk around with those in the air. And you're going to find out what a ground is. You're going to be the ground. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with regard to this thing, we walk around in spiritually charged times. I saw Satan. I know, doctor, I know. I saw Satan as lightning fall. Was it to the ground? I think it was. He fell to the ground. I know, I mean, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Oh, folks, you weighed spirits in this world today. You live in a spiritually charged atmosphere. Where does the truth flow? Go to college. I found darkness in college. Go to church. It's the pillar. It's the ground of the truth. This is where charge flows to ground. The church. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Can we pray real quick? Father, I pray you'll honor these few moments, these few words. I pray you'd help us, Father, to acquiesce to what you clearly said. We've enjoyed ourselves here this week. I may not be talking to a single soul here this morning that's interested in tearing anything up, but I pray you'd help us to see the truth of these matters, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.